Mystery Babylon. One more time. Mystery Babylon. And it's in the book of Revelation, but Babylon goes all the way back to Genesis with the building of the Tower of what? Babel. And what did God do when man said, let us make a name for ourselves? I will exalt ourselves. We'll go up into heaven. God did what to them? He did what? He confounded their what? Their languages. Their languages. And so they couldn't get together and work the plan. And that might be oversimplistic for you to understand. That's how the different languages got here on this earth. But that's what the Bible says. Amen? And it's amazing when disunity takes place and they couldn't be unified in purpose. It's amazing when disunity takes place, you can't get a whole lot done. Did y'all hear what I just said? That works at your office, at the house, on the ball team coach, certainly at a church. Amen? All right? So otherwise, it's just a bunch of babbling going on. It's crazy. So Babylon goes all the way back to there. Babylon was a major enemy of Israel. All their existence, they took them into captivity. The captivity lasted for 7 years, but quite frankly, Israel was dispersed, never back in their land, after the Babylonian captivity. Even though there was a place, there was a Jerusalem, but Israel was never back in the land until 1948. Say 1948. 1948. So Babylon's been around a long time. Babylon's an enemy of God. Babylon is right now modern day what? Iraq. Babylon is right now modern day what? Iraq. And whether you like to hear me say it or not, Islam is an enemy to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an enemy to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can't believe you say that, Pastor. It's the truth. If you want to smoke something somewhere, go smoke it somewhere. But that's the truth, guys. Y'all listen to me. That is the truth. It's an enemy of the gospel of Christ. Okay? Whether you like it or not, you're an infidel. That's who you are, according to Islam and the Quran. Okay? So Babylon has been an enemy of God. Okay? In the last days, the Bible talks about mystery Babylon. The mother of harlots, an abomination. Let's look at it. Try to hang in here with me. It's a little bit of a deep subject, but I believe if you hang in there, we can get it together. We're going to try to make it simple. What is Mystery Babylon? I gave you a little review of last week. Mystery Babylon in the Word of God, especially in the book of Revelation, is a code word. Say code word with me. Code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. Spiritual bondage and defilement. It's a code word. So that means you and I can be in bondage. We're in bondage. We fall to that. We give into that. We go that way. We're defiled many times. Okay? Listen. So this is a current phenomenon. It's not just something in the past. For sure, Mystery Babylon. If you're trying to figure out what is Mystery Babylon, listen to me. If you're trying to figure out what Mystery Babylon is about, and we could talk about this in the past and this and the other, but the bottom line is there is no doubt about it. From the Word of God, it's religious what? Say it with me. Harlotry and what? Abomination to God. We see that in the Word. Look at Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was the name written. Say it with me. Mystery Babylon the Great. Say it with me. The mother of and abominations of the earth. So, how does this apply to me, Pastor? Well, we're studying it. We're looking at the book of Revelation. It's there. It says, in the end times, in the last days, there will be what's called Mystery Babylon. What does this have to do with me? Well, there's certain symptoms of Mystery Babylon. We see them in the Scriptures. And it behooves us, if this is called religious harlotry, religious fornication, playing church, playing the game, not being the real deal in my life for Jesus Christ. If this is about that, then I need to learn about it. Because I don't want to have anything to do with that. Amen? So what are some symptoms in the last days of the church, of religious harlotry, of religion that is not following the one true God? How does that hit me? How can I grow? Let's look at it. Number one, we looked at it a little bit last week, pride. The number one symptom of Mystery Babylon, say it with me, is what? Hang in here. How much she hath glorified who? Jesus? Herself. And lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, say it with me, I sit a a queen. I'm no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. So we looked at this last week. One of the number one symptoms of Mystery Babylon, let's do it this way, in my life, if Mystery Babylon is showing up in Gary, number one symptom, pride. Where I'm not humble before God, I'm not following Christ, it's not about Him. It's about me living deliciously. It's about me as the focus. You listening? But look at Jesus. But He made Himself of what? Know what? And He took upon Him the form of a what? Servant. Say servant with me. Servant. That's the opposite of pride, by the way. If you serve and you're a servant, that's the best thing you can do to knock pride right out of your life. Amen? Serve God. Serve other people. Serve your family. Serve at this church. Serve your community. Serve. Jesus made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and He was made like you and me, man. That's incredible. So, number one symptom in the last days of Mystery Babylon, not just of this future thing, of right now in the world we live in, much of the church today is about what? Say it with me. Selfishness and making a what? Name for ourselves. I've had people get upset with me, and it's okay. I understand. But the seats at Fellowship Church, when we put them in, they're not going to have little plaques on the back of them. Okay? We're building that facility for the glory of who? Someone take a wild guess. God, Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen? And there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad thing per se. I just don't want to have nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? Won't be names of this is dedicated, this facility is dedicated to so-and-so that did such a good job. No, it's dedicated to our Savior who died on the cross for us. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, you'd be going to a devil's hell without Jesus. I'm not really that excited. They don't have to put my name somewhere or something dedicated to something. Amen. How about let's all dedicate our life to Jesus? How about that? Amen. Kill pride, baby. Number two, second symptom, we looked at it briefly, idolatry. Idolatry. Back in Jeremiah, speaking of Babylon, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven what? And they are mad upon their idols. And so, worshiping customs. It's part of our culture today as far as church. We are so driven by customs. I'm accustomed to this at church. This is what I like to do. And so I understand being comfortable, but if customs trumps people, if somehow some church doesn't do something the way you or I like it because it's a custom, and therefore we resort back to number one and get full of ourselves and think we're better than them, we got a problem of worshiping something we shouldn't worship. Does that make sense? Worshiping customs, preferences. I have certain preferences. If it was up to me, I'd sing Southern Gospel all day long. Because that's what I like. Amen. I like to stamp my foot and sing Southern Gospel. Amen. Yeah. But guess what? It ain't just about me. Thank you, God, Charlie says. Amen. I think over here I'm getting some thank you, Gods. Amen. Hey. We don't worship customs, that's Mystery Babylon, that's idolatry. We don't worship preferences, that's Mystery Babylon. We don't worship people, people. Much of the church today is not immune to idol worship. We worship people. We're guilty of worshiping Hollywood stars. We worship politicians. We worship sports heroes. And almost everyone on that screen has either had a fall or they're just really not somebody worthy of your worship. And by the way, you can put me up there too. I'm not worthy of your worship. Uh-oh, newsflash, you're not worthy of my worship. Did you hear me today? Amen. Come on. Idolatry in the last days. But isn't that the way we are? We hook our wagon to things or people or customs or things. That's a symptom of Mystery Babylon in us, guys. Have I lost you this morning? Trying to make this thing that's difficult to understand, I'm trying to bring it into our thinking. All right, let's move forward. There's four other ones. We'll do them quick. a symptom of mystery Babylon. Covetousness. Back to this verses on Babylon in the Old Testament. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in what? Thine end is come, and the measure of your covetousness is coming to an end. Back to Revelation, talking about mystery Babylon. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that what? Great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is your judgment come. 1 hour. And the merchants of the earth shall what? Weep, and they'll mourn over her. For no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold. Look at this. Let's make it personal now. Let's see if there's things up here that we're struggling with. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk, scarlet, thyine wood, all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood, of brass, of iron, of marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour. Did they get the whole list up here? Wheat, man, beast, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves. Ooh, look at that last one. The souls of men. For covetousness, we will sell out a person. For greed and money. That's a sign of mystery Babylon and it work at us. And somebody doesn't matter more than the almighty dollar. Amen? I've said it before. I know I run people off when I talk like this. If you're a business person in this church and you're a cheat, my prayer for you is that you will fail. If you cheat people in our community, if you're not fair, if you don't do that, I want you to make a living. I want you to make an honest living. You hear me today? And not take advantage and be a cheat. That's a sign of mystery Babylon, man, when we're like that. All right? Tough. I know that's tough preaching. Sorry. Most of these things, by the way, in this list, look, most of these things were used in sacrifices to the Lord, but are now used to buy the souls of men. How much could we do for God if our focus, our mission was Him? Amen. Say. And we give and we care and we do because we care for people and we love people. Amen. You hear me today? It's incredible. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of who? This is talking about ministers whose judgment now of a long time lingers not and their damnation slumbers not. There is coming a payday for people who took advantage of people in ministry for the glory of God or for the name of Jesus. Are y'all hearing me today? All right, church. Much of the church today is about covetousness and greed. Say that last two words with me. It's what? It's sickening. We say it. I've been saying it for a long time. We probably could get further along faster in our church here, but if you can't give cheerfully, keep it. It's about Him. It's about our heart. And somehow deep inside of me, I still believe that if Jesus has your heart and we work together on that, Him getting your heart, my heart, that we're going to have a much stronger and a longer lasting ministry. People will come and go. But these are unchanging principles. You listening? Amen. Come on. Number four, what's a symptom of mystery Babylon? You might think, okay, good, I'm not doing this. Amen. He's hit me on every one of them. I ain't hit you. It's just the scriptures, buddy. Sorcery. Back at Babylon in the Old Testament, stand now with thine enchantments, with your multitude of your sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from your youth. Been doing this your whole life. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that's going to come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame, much less you. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before. this Jesus who died for you and me, who says he's the only way, the truth, and the life, and we call him unfair because all roads don't lead to heaven? The book of Revelation says this weak, seemingly suffering Savior who rose from the dead. The book of Revelation says his hair is white as wool. It says his eyes, say it with me if you know it, are as a flame of what? And out of his mouth proceeds a what? A two-edged sword. Listen, anything at the end of the day that ain't about him and worshiping him, if it's any other sect or whatever, it's going to burn up. Mystery Babylon. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice shall be heard no more at all in you. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all the nations, what? Deceived. I can't tell you the number of times I hear people tell me, and I know I say things that get me in trouble, but listen, I have people tell me, people that are involved in false religion that's not Christ-centered, it doesn't have a thing to do with Jesus, listen, or it's perverted, they tell me, yeah, but they're good people. You think it's just being good is what it takes to get to heaven? Do you think the blood of Jesus was necessary? Well, if it's necessary, then it's necessary. Amen. Care what well-meaning. But I'm going to tell you something. Not only are they going to be judged and damned because of their belief, but certainly those that are leading this are going to be judged and damned because of their leading people like this. You understand? Sorcery. Let's bring it home, plain English. Sorcery can be described as, and we try to think this is all demonic and playing Ouija boards or something, okay? All right, listen. Sorcery can be described as getting your spiritual instructions from anywhere other than God and His holy word. Did you hear me today? Say that with me. Sorcery can be described as, say it with me, getting your spiritual instructions from anywhere other than God's holy. That's pretty tough right there. That's pretty tough right there. Thus says the Lord, amen. I'll hide God's what? Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. Thy what? Word is a lamp unto my what? Feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of your word gives light, the Bible says. Much of the church today, listen to me, here we go, is saying things, teaching things, believing things that are not found in the Word of God. They're just not there. Two ladies were sitting today. Pat, you here this morning? Miss Pat? Where you at, Miss Pat? I don't want to talk out of turn. Two ladies were sitting in a table by me at McDonald's over here this morning, early. And I won't go into what their conversation was, but I could hear their conversation. And they both said, well, one lady says, well, we should ask Reverend Clark. All I'm doing is having coffee, trying to be by myself. Well, they asked me. I could tell them flat out, absolutely not. It's not in the Word of God. Matter of fact, it's forbidden. It's condemned and it's called an abomination. Now, whether you like the answer or not, that's the answer. Sorcery, getting your spiritual instructions from anything or anybody other than the Word. Number five, call it what you want to, but if it's not of God, it's not of God. You can say anything you want to. You can dress it up. You can fancy it up. You can talk about all the good about it. This little line right here, so many today in church read everything but the what? We read everything but the what? Absolutely. We read everything but the what? That's a symptom of Mystery Babylon in the last days. It's also a symptom of Mystery Babylon at work in us. If that's said of us, guys, Not here trying to make you feel bad. I know I like you getting up coming to church. I wish I could pat us all on the head. But have y'all seen the world and the shape it's in? Have you seen the church and the shape it's in? Have you seen the families and the shape they're in? Don't you think maybe we should, like, give God a chance here? Amen. Say. I'm going to say it again. I'm not looking for Mitt Romney to come and save America. Did y'all hear me? Not looking for President Obama to save America. Okay? Hey, I'm conservative as they come. I'll tell you how to vote. But bottom line is, if you know your Bible, if you know your Bible and you're in the Word, and you know where this country came from and the principles we were founded on, you shouldn't have a problem knowing from commissioners all the way up how to vote. Amen? But the Word of God, man, it's just working your life. Keep looking. Number five, adultery is a symptom of Mystery Babylon. Now watch it carefully. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and an abomination of the earth. Scriptures back in Ephesians, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Watch those words, spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall two be joined together unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, mystery, mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and his church. Keep looking. The word adultery. The word adultery is actually mixing it up. Say that with me. Mixing it up. It's not clean. It's dirty. It causes spots, blemishes, and wrinkles. Okay? Come on. Adultery weakens. It never strengthens. Never strengthens. Had a man one time come to my office, want me to counsel him. He was telling me he's committing his adultery. You know, he felt like it was of God. That was years ago. I was a much younger man. Today, I'll throw him out of a two-story building. You got me, say. Or at least against glass doors. Amen. Come on. Listen, adultery weakens. It never strengthens, guys. Y'all listen to me. Come on. But let's talk about the church. Much of the church today is taking truth, the truth of the Word of God. And we've mixed it up. We've mixed it up with other stuff. And we've weakened it. We've weakened the power and the message of the gospel of Jesus. No wonder God says about Mystery Babylon, you're a harlot, you're an adulterer. That's how God looks at us as a church when we're not true to Him, true to His Word. This is a big deal to God. Number six, murder. What's that got to do with me, Pastor? I'm no murderer. Not trying to make you anything. Just trying to teach the Word today. And I saw the woman. I've stayed in Revelation, if you don't realize it. Mystery Babylon the whole time. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. People who love God, say that with me, have been killed down through the centuries. Shamefully, much of it was done in the name of Christianity. Or certainly in the name of religion. Would you agree with that? If not, just read a little history and you'll come back next week and say, yes, sir, I agree. I'm going to talk to you, though, because most of us haven't killed anybody. Now, you need to listen if you don't mind. Most of us haven't killed anybody. My mother was murdered, shot six times. But my job has been a pastor over the years. Murder. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members that it defiles the whole body. It set on fire. It setteth on fire the course of nature. Say that last part with me. And is set on fire of what? The tongue. Keep looking. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly what? Full of deadly what? It sounds like it'll kill to me. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we who? Which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and what? my brethren, these things set with me, ought not what? So to be. Listen, much of the church today assassinates through the power of the tongue. That's a sign of mystery Babylon at work. When we can say things about one another to someone else. Matter of fact, somebody told me this week that other than using your hands to either shoot a weapon or use your hands to hurt someone, the most violent thing after that you can do to somebody is gossip with your mouth. That's a sign of mystery Babylon at work in you and work in me. We ought to see it as murder. We ought to see I'm killing someone's character. I'm killing someone's home. I'm killing someone's, you know, friendship by assassinating. I call it the devil's anthrax. Say that with me. The devil's what? Many are hateful and mean-spirited, but dress up on Sunday and Sunday go to meeting clothes. I've told you before, I got to quit. I go out to eat all the time. Waitresses and me are good friends in this town. And they say on Sunday, it's the hardest day. They deal with the meanest people on Sunday after church. God forgive us and God help us. You hear me today? If you're mean, if you go around mean, acting mean, looking mean, talking mean, there's 8 doors out of here, even though we've been limited on how many you can get out of now. You can find one of them because I don't want to spend my life with you. Did you hear what I said? I don't want to spend my life with murderers. I put you in that camp. Assassinating, hiding, sniping, shooting. We don't do that as children of God. Y'all listen to me or not? We build one another up. We edify one another. Sure, there's times that we correct one another. That's true. But we're to do it in what? What's the word? Correct, and what's the word? In what? Love. Is gossiping loving somebody? Yes or no? No, people. I don't know what church you came from or where you came from. According to the Word of God, it's condemned. It's horrible. Matter of fact, God says it's of hell. I don't know what more language He could put. Babylon. Now, I know this didn't leave us all fancy and courage today. But did we learn some Scripture today? Say, sure we did. I don't know the list. Pride, idolatry. Somebody write them down. What's the third one? Covetousness, sorcery, adultery, and murder. But remember, it's a mystery. And so what can I learn about this thing called Mystery Babylon in my life? Is it at work in me? The Bible says, what does it say? There's one straightforward command, and I'm done, I'm really late. There's one straightforward command. Come out of her. Say it with me. Come out of her. One more time. Come out of her. One more time. Come out of her. One more time. Come out of her. That's what the Bible says. And I heard the voice from heaven saying, come out of her. What? Come out of her by what? That you be part, not partakers of her sins, and that you don't receive her plagues. Wow. So that's good news, ain't it? I'm glad I warned you today. I don't want a plague to get on you. Amen? At Fellowship Church, we love Jesus and we love people. And we love God's Word. Don't always preach it just right. I know I missed the mark. But what drives my engine is loving Jesus and loving people. And a lot of that mess on the screen don't have nothing to do with that. Amen, guys? So we want to be focused on loving Him. Let's praise the Lord for His Word, even though it was a little strange today. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word. Amen. Let's stand on up. Stand on up with